Attention, attention.
This year's second annual InfinityCon will be kicking off July 9th and 10th at the Lake George Forum.
It's the North Country's first pop culture con.
Come see Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Power Rangers, the Shaggy Van, Ecto-1 from the new Ghostbusters movie, the Time Machine from Back to the Future. Meet DC Comics writer Steve Orlando, Ron Martz, toy sculptor Paul Harding, tons of comic vendors, and more.
Reserve your tickets now at InfinityConNY.com.
InfinityCon at the Lake George Forum, July 9th and 10th. Be there.
Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, and welcome to the Audibly
Exquisite
Podcast, episode number 65.
65, good year to be born. Oops, that's me.
Absolutely. Now, let's see, what we are all about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it, we're going to cover it. And we are a proud member of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, www.gunnageek.com. And let's see, you can find us on a wide variety of social media platforms, including Facebook at facebook.com/audibly exquisite. You can find us on Twitter at the AE Podcast, or individually at Peter Melnick, at Mike_Norin, and also at
Eddie Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
On Twitter.
On Twitter. Oh, at eWilson959. Hello.
There we go. And you can find us on Instagram at Audibly.
Exquisite.
And you can find us on the worldwide interwebs at
www.audiblyexquisite.com.
And also, there's a wide variety of ways to listen to this show. You can find us on a wide variety of iOS and Android devices with Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and Podomatic. And also rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. Spread the word like Nutella, and 5-star if you're ever so inclined. And leave a nice little review. And now, obviously, you can tell Mike is not here for today's episode, but we are joined with a consummate radio professional, Mr. Eddie Wilson. Eddie, how you doing today?
Oh, Peter, thank you very much. Let me count the ways you can get this show, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I haven't gotten the banter down yet, but I think I'm on number, I don't know, 6 times I'm on with you?
I believe so. This? You might be lucky number 7 as well. There's a possibility. I know you were there for the, you made your Audible Exquisite premiere last year during our East Coast Comic Con special. Spectacular, fantabulous thing.
Oh, it was. Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Let's see. You were there for the follow-up one this year. You were there with Jared and I for when he was filling in. So that's, I believe, 3 episodes there. You have your 2 episodes of Cosplay Connection.
Correct.
And you're on right now. So, yes, I believe it is number 6.
Very cool.
So,
yeah.
Let's see. So, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I decided to tailor-make this one since we are here in Marvel Manor right now. This is going to be a little bit Marvel-centric. So, Eddie, I know you're a big Marvel fan. Who is your all-time favorite character, by the way?
It's got to be Spider-Man.
That's, Spidey? That's, you too?
That's my man. That's where it started. Even though in a previous cast I'd said that my very first comic books, I believe, I recall, were DC and Nature, and they would have been and were Unknown Soldier and Weird War Tales.
Nice.
At some point, probably in my early teen years, I decided, let me just go and get some comic books. 35-cent cover price at the time, I'm going to say thereabouts, and I got a handful of different titles and really started getting into it from there. But Spider-Man, yeah, head and shoulders above the rest.
Oh, definitely.
He's, I think, consistent, and I'd even been told somewhere along the line, if when I had a flood, bad word when you're talking about comic books.
Oh, yeah.
And debated whether or not to replace stuff, and it was between a couple of titles. And for the record, the Spider-Man stuff was really pretty much unscathed, thank goodness.
That's good.
It was said, that'll hold the value, do the Spider-Man stuff.
Unfortunately, I believe, as we discussed off mic, there is a certain appearance of Deadpool that was not so fortunate. And as a diehard Deadpool fan, that makes me weep a little bit inside on my chimichangas. So,
we'll now, make more.
The funniest thing, though, is, you know, with the comics nowadays, like I'm if you listen to Inside the Batcave on the Fanboys Inc. podcast network, I last said I was up to number 492 on reading these Spider-Man books. That has changed since then, and we discussed off mic, I'm up to 505.
I've read you're doing well.
I've read a lot of Spider-Man in my time.
You're doing very well. And
clearly.
I, as I may have mentioned also in a previous cast, had kind of stopped, tapered off everything in like 1993.
Lucky man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and the market for the comics was a little bit after that going downhill fast. And since then, you know, a few years ago, I guess, really got back into it. So I really have to kind of pick up the things that I have collected. Reading wise, I got a lot of years to catch up on.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, that'll happen.
I mean, myself, I read like the entirety of the Clone Saga from the 90s. And man, you lucked out on not having to read 800 tie-ins. Like one story in Spider-Man would be, let's see, it would be part one. No, part two in Amazing Spider-Man, which is the primary series I read.
Yeah.
And part one would be in Web of or Unlimited or
Peter Parker's
Spectacular, all of those. Part three would be in other ones. And I'm like, I'm enjoying reading this, but man, I'm really getting annoyed having to, you know, flip to different series. I want to just read, you know, Spider-Man. I just want to read Amazing.
Yeah. At that point, things were getting, I think, too far, too branched out, too splintered, going to other titles, crossing over like that. And the cost was going up too. I mean, I'm talking about what's now inexpensive. It's less than half of what you pay for a cover price now, figure $3 or $4. So we're talking $1.25 thereabouts. Those are the two factors that started getting me to say, you know what, I'm going to taper down from 24 titles a month and slowly try and finish storylines and that kind of thing. So
for me, my problem is this, and it's very true. It's somebody on Reddit, I believe, in the comic book section, r/comicbooks, said we're paying $4 to $5 essentially for a 20-page pamphlet. Mm-hmm. And it's true. It's
okay. All right. You want to look at it that way? You can. Sure. Not a problem.
But this is why, like, for example, I'm kind of, you know, swaying towards the Distinguished Competition right now, DC Comics, with their Rebirth initiative. They're doing, you know, biweekly books now, but it's like a 20 to 30 page book every other week. And you're getting essentially 60 pages for $6, you know, at like 10 pages a dollar. You know, I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. And some break it down like that. And we talked also off mic about the fact that certain series get hot because of developments movie-wise, show-wise, that kind of thing, and maybe the value goes down or back up again kind of thing, whether it's Deadpool or Wolverine.
Yeah, like,
and it sounded like a comparison to, you know, buying stocks.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing. But you don't know. I mean, you want to be in it to enjoy it, to read it, to hold on to it, possibly to treasure it. Maybe there's value later on kind of thing.
I'm a big Deadpool fan, and I will never part with my Deadpool books because I genuinely love them. And I actually, when I met Jerry Dugan and Brian Posehn, the writers of the current run of Deadpool, I have the Deadpool number one signed by both of them, the one with him fighting a dinosaur that's spitting out cats for some reason. Don't ask.
Okay.
But I had
no clue, sorry.
I had them make it out to Peter because I'm like, you know what? I like this book. I don't want to, you know, resell it. And, you know, you're a comic head too. You love comics. You love, you know, reading the stuff you have. Do you ever part with some of the books? Like, you ever just, like, sell them off? Because
I have not.
I can't either.
Listen, I had flooding and I had 17 long boxes go into water. That was 9 or 10 inches deep. In some respects, they were salvaged. They were packed so tight. Water kind of like got repelled. But I had to rip open those long boxes and dry them out.
Right.
And I still have a plastic tub of comics that need to be disposed of or given a proper burial or burning, ceremoniously so, that I think I've mostly replaced. But no, I've not parted with any at this point.
I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. And like, you know, I also collect, you know, not just for the story sometimes. Yeah, I can be that person that buys a book based on the cover. I'm not going to shy away from that. Like, for example, I like bad-looking comics, and I love good-looking comics. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually have – I'm not a football person whatsoever, don't know how the game is played. And if you tweet at me explaining how to do football, I really don't care. So there is a football comic of this football player. I just did a quick Google search, couldn't pull anything up, but I think it was Joe Montana, and it is the ugliest comic book cover I've ever seen in my life. If I can track down my copy, I'll send you a picture, and I'll throw it up on Twitter and everything.
That would probably be...
Oh, I did find it.
See that. Yeah, okay, right.
Oh, it's such an ugly-looking cover, and it's super tiny. I can't find a good one. Man, that's a bummer. But
super tiny is no problem for Ant-Man.
Let me see if I can actually adjust for Eddie right now. It is the ugliest cover of a comic I've ever seen.
A little beat, yeah, but
I found it in a quarter bin. I'm like, yep, you're coming home with me. Mm-hmm. So
it's a name, and that, you know,
it's Joe Montana's face.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have no idea what teams he's played for, and again, please don't tweet me with information. I don't care. Yeah. So
you can always Google that.
Exactly. So now, I mean, I just feel like, you know, once you said, you know, with the whole the market thing of how things like fluctuate and everything, like I said, try being a Deadpool fan where, like, you know, a big chunk of the 1997 to 2002 run, which is like highly lauded as like the best Deadpool, some of those go for 50 and up.
And who knew at the time that that it was at the time where in the 90s, the mid to late 90s, the market was in the tank, so to speak, not selling well, not doing well. Every Marvel comic that I recall seeing after the fact when I got back into it, Marvel's greatest comics, you know, and the artwork had changed enough for me to say, I don't like this, you know. And I was locked into a certain era of Marvel artists, and maybe I could recite some names and that kind of thing. But I know what I liked. And later on, you know, things change, and now, oh, well, we got to try and find this. In that time period, a certain number of issues were run. It wasn't as much, so now it's, of course, harder to find. Like, for example, the second run of Ghost Rider, that issue number 93, 500 copies were made, that kind of thing. Limited.
Was it really?
Yeah, that's what I had heard when it finally came to that. And then they finally, you know, ended it in issue number 94. But other things of that nature, like some of the Star Wars comics when you got to the
from the 80s,
the 10567, that run there,
and those are
limited distribution. Howard the Duck and from the 70s, same thing, first issue, I guess.
I have a whole complete run of that series. I love that series.
There you go. Okay,
big Steve Gerber fan over here.
And they tried, what they did, a short in the 90s, also mid to late 90s Howard the Duck run.
I have the Christmas special. That's really about
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
If it's not if it's not Gerber, I really don't care, to be honest.
Hopefully he comes back in you know, whether it's Guardian of the Galaxy 2 or something along the lines in the Infinity stuff when that hits.
Well, right now, they actually ended the Howard the Duck run. It's going to be ending it with issue number 11, I believe, mm-hmm. from Chip Zdarsky off of the second run that he's doing. And it kind of – it's a bittersweet thing for me right now, because it means, wow, we're not going to have another Howard the Duck book for a while because it's done now. Yeah. On the plus side, that means I don't have to buy a certain book anymore. Fantastic. Yeah. Like, you have no idea how happy I was when Dan Slott's Silver Surfer ended. Only for it to be announced for a second volume, and I'm just crying in my soup. You know, I really wanted...
He's had several runs, and I think I have three of them, the first three runs. Nothing that...
It's so good.
Recently, nothing really, like, from, was it 2015 or even this year that came out. I'm not tuned into the current artwork. It just...
Really?
It looks... And this is my discrepancy or how I have differentiated Marvel and DC, in that... Okay, DC's been around longer, but in my mind, having done mostly Marvel and seeing what DC is doing, maybe by starting to see a Batman or a Superman, maybe it was a certain titles that I had seen, but the artwork looked more to a younger audience.
With Marvel?
With DC.
Oh, with DC.
The artwork looked like it was more juvenile in nature, but here I'm, you know, mid to late teens, and I'm collecting stuff, and I like... Because I was thinking, oh, it's too kid stuff for me to even deal with. So maybe that's part of why I went with Marvel more so.
I mean, myself, you know, I would sorry, quick cough off mic.
Don't cough button. Dang,
I know. Believe it or not, Mike and I were actually having a conversation about getting cough buttons one of these days.
Nice.
So
I have cough drops, if that'll help.
Yeah, I'll be fine for now. Okay. But
breath savers, yeah, that'll do.
I'm just a big fan of, you know, the Silver Age books and Bronze Age, especially, like, you know, the Neil Adams, the Jim Steranko's and people like that.
Yeah.
Cause they pumped out some amazing content back then, like just amazing stuff.
Well, the volume of stuff that came out. Yeah, absolutely. Not like it is now, but it's a big, big thing. You know,
I was recently talking to friend of the show. Yes. I'm going to pick up that name. I'm about to drop former Black Panther writer Don McGregor. I was talking to him about, you know, the different artists from back then, and he actually did in the 1980s, I believe, Nathan Dusk, I want to say, for DC Comics, the Distinguished Competition.
Okay, I know the title, the character, yeah.
And the artist he, you know, teamed up with this on was Gene Colan, and Gene was like a phenomenal artist. And
oh, yeah, long career for him.
The thing I'm, you know, and he was like in the golden age too, by the way. And then I think the 50s. So like he definitely had a long career.
Yeah.
Like he was 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and I believe into the 2000s and 90s. So
I would believe it. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, with him, like he's one of those, I'm still kicking myself over that I never got to meet. Like he passed away the year before I started going to cons in 2011.
Well, how could you kick yourself if you weren't even into it then? So,
I wanted to time travel. I mean, come on, you know, get into the TARDIS, run away, you know.
Or a DeLorean, for that matter.
Exactly. Or even, what other time-traveling methods? I mean, just, you know...
Star Trek thingy, maybe. I don't know.
Grab Cable's metal arm or something. We could figure something out.
Yeah. Have Cable's metal arm against Winter Soldier's metal arm. Why don't we do that? Sure.
Hell of an arm wrestling contest.
It wouldn't end.
But, yeah, I mean, with you know, the whole thing with Gene Colan, like, his work is phenomenal. And, like, if you ever... like, do you have the Howard the Duck run at all?
I do. First run.
His, like, after, I believe, Val Mayerik, the co-creator of Howard, it's some phenomenal stuff, like, with Gene on, you know, doing the art.
I think I know Gene Colan starting with Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, he did Conan the, I almost called him Conan O'Barbarian with a little bit of Conan O'Brien just now.
Irish into it, why not?
But, yeah, he did, like, some phenomenal stuff on, like, Iron Man, too. Like, there's this book by a friend of the show, Arlen Schumer, called The Silver Age of Comic Book Art, and... He you know, discussed, like, the whole method of, like, how Gene would have, like, you know, the faces, like Iron Man's mask would transmit emotion. You never saw that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely, because it probably called attention to me to say, wait, why does his armored face look different? And then you start saying, okay, well, it looks like the armor's changed up. The chest plate might not be quite circular or
you'd
oblong
see that
or whatever. Yeah.
When Tony was in pain, the mask transmitted that. That's a cool thing.
No, it is. And Gene Colan, I mean, if you're any comic book collector, after a while, after years, you start picking up. You don't actively, I think, at least me, naive or whatever as it might sound, pick up on, oh, who did the artwork? Oh, who wrote this?
I've become that person. Like, I've noticed that more now.
But later on, you know, like Dopus or whatever. But
Goofus and Gallant.
Later in life, whatever the case, you start realizing, oh, that's this person who did this. And, oh, yeah, I recognize this. Is this? Hey, it is. Yeah, that kind of thing. And then you see that, oh, it was not only Marvel that they did work, but it was DC, too. Oh, I wonder what came first, chicken or the egg. And, you know, you get an affinity or at least a relationship sort of visually with knowing who they are. And I think that's why maybe people who collected years ago are not in tune with now. And that can go for music as well as any other media form, so to speak. And so you're not attuned to what it looks like now. Case in point, possibly. Recently picked up a 4-issue Marvel miniseries called Captain America Civil War Prelude.
Oh, that's for the and it's actually canon with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Marvel Cinematic Universe is on there. I said, oh, okay, I should read this before I see the movie. I didn't get to, but come to find out, it's really just...
It's filler, isn't it?
Already, it must be filler because it's incomplete in the fact that having seen... It starts the first 2 issues of really encapsulizing Iron Man 3. And the second 2 issues, 3 and 4, of Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
That's your 4 issues. So what I'm saying is, if you haven't seen it, the best part of it, I think, are the covers.
Yeah.
But don't waste the money on it, I think. I really never said that before about any comics. But, you know, our artwork isn't as good as I thought. It definitely skips pieces because if you already have the movie indoctrinated into your head and so on, it's like, wait, what happened to this? What? It really just, you know, a way to sell a miniseries.
I know they did one for Guardians of the Galaxy that I do want to track down, but I'm thinking to myself it's probably going to be the exact same kind of thing that you just mentioned. Like,
it's possible. I mean, they even did do for Guardians the series that took off, I guess, was the 2007 or 8 series.
Yeah, I believe drawing a blank over here.
Yeah, no, and what a blank it is.
Yeah.
The series that, you know, did very well, but I think they encapsulized 2 issues into one. when they kind of reprinted it, sort of.
Yeah.
And I'm missing one of them, but I got, hey, this is a kind of a 2-in-1 thing. I'll get this, and so on. But
and Guardians of the Galaxy is such, you know, a phenomenal like group of characters. Like I've said it since the first episode, I believe. It's such, you know, they're my favorites, like out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it still stands. That's my favorite movie they've done.
Okay.
So well,
it's been brought up, I think, before, and people will still probably go back to it if they're fans, and they go back to Marvel Feature in the 70s when Guardians of the Galaxy were first introduced.
Oh, and they were terrible.
And they were so – and some of them were just totally different characters. And they go – and somebody goes, well, why didn't they – I know a friend of mine who maybe we should get on here – because he really his retention of comic book stuff is unreal,
right?
And he'll go bit by bit and, you know, chapter and verse of their, and he'll bring up these characters and he'll say, oh well, this one should have been in here, how come they didn't? And I said, probably they wouldn't translate too well into the Marvel Cinematic Universe on screen.
I think the original Guardians of the Galaxy, like I, you know, we had when we had Neil Adams on, you know, he trashed the original lineup, and I kind of don't blame him because like I've read some of it and I'm just like, oh, that guy has a wide head. Fantastic. Like, what is his power? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. From there, right, from the mid-70s being in Marvel Feature, then I guess they had their run in the 90s.
Yeah.
Which went of 61, 62 issues.
With Jim Valentino doing the art, one of the Image Comics co-founders.
Okay, there you go. Again, something to catch up to and read, but I did get the whole run completed, and that was a blessing in itself. It's always a good thing to finish that run, like you know.
Oh, yeah.
Some others, no. Cross it off the list.
I hope you know you have no idea how guilty I felt when I gave you that issue of Deadpool number 8, because I'm thinking to myself, here you go, Eddie, and now you have a new series to start collecting.
Yeah, I know. That's always a risk. But
it was such a double-edged sword at that moment.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, take this in here.
Here you go. Like, I was actually thinking it right as I was handing it. Sorry. So now, speaking, you know, earlier of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, let's get into today's news topics. So, supposedly Marvel Studios and Fox are in negotiation or discussing quite a bit that the X-Men might soon be involved in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yay!
Like a crossover kind of film or whatever. Now, obviously, you know, it's going to kind of be hard, but then again, you know, as Deadpool said, the different timelines, you know, you can mix it up or whatever.
Yeah, well, timelines, X-Men, yeah, there's been a lot about that, I think, and how things don't match up with X-Men versus Wolverine timelines and all that kind of stuff. So,
which Xavier is this, Stewart or McAvoy? That was one of my favorite lines.
Yeah, exactly. When did he lose his hair? Or why is he in a wheelchair? Why is he walking now? Or you know.
Which, by the way, have you've seen X-Men Apocalypse? What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I know part of the reviews and part of the critics. Dissed it for the second half being too much special effects.
I had a birthday watching that. I'll be honest, I had a birthday watching the fight scenes. I'm like, boy, this sure has gone on a while.
Fight scenes?
Yeah.
The longest scene was the rescue from the mansion, I think, during Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams are Made of This.
Well, when all that stuff was going on, I actually said on a few weeks back after I watched the movie, I felt, you know, it... I completely forgot Apocalypse was the bad guy in the movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's in this.
You know, part of the thing, too, was I said, oh, they're doing another long, extended Quicksilver scene.
I did like that a lot.
To maybe carry the movie, at least in part. And I said, all right, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to whatever. To be honest, the first X-Men that had Quicksilver in it. And the
Days of Future
scene,
Past.
Days of Future Past, rather. I was like, okay. It just seemed to be kind of long with that. But it settled in. I got more comfortable with it. This time I was prepared to say, okay, how long is this going to take and so on. It's in slow motion and so on and whatever. And fine. But I said to myself, Quicksilver is going to be the hero out of this whole movie? It dawned on me, that possible idea.
Was it a Dawn of Justice?
It was a dawn. It was a breaking. I don't know. It was some inner light that went off. But it still, I thought, did okay for what it was. And I'm guessing it won't be too long before we can get that on... you know, the usual outlets, DVD and otherwise.
Yeah, they actually just announced this week when Civil War is going to be released. So expect, you know, X-Men Apocalypse to be, you know, like trailing immediately before or after.
Well, you know, speaking of from movie to DVD, I think it was in somewhat record time. Not that I'm keeping too active track of this, that when Deadpool first came out in February of...
Yeah, it came out in May.
3 months later, boom.
Well, yeah. A few weeks back, I believe we were talking about it. It's amazing. Either I talk about here or on Twitter, but I am slowly starting like a mini VHS collection of like, you know, obscure movies and stuff like that. And like, you know, the Star Wars films too, just because, you know, as a diehard Star Wars fan, I have the original 1980s versions of Empire Strikes Back on VHS and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
And I was looking into them. Empire came out in 1980 and Return of the Jedi came out in 1983.
Yes.
Empire Strikes Back did not come out on VHS until 1984. And Jedi did not come out until 86.
You know what? The market was young then, and they probably didn't realize, hey, if we turn this out 6 months, we got more money coming in.
Well, the funniest thing is, you know, Star Wars came out in 77 and didn't come out until 82 on VHS, although it was available for rentals in 79.
Right, right. But, I mean, this is a time of more, what, the laser discs and that kind of thing. And when you said mini VHS, I'm thinking, wait a minute, Betamax. Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That didn't go too far kind of thing. So, yeah, they took a while for them to catch on.
Betamax will rise again. You never know.
Long live Beta. There's the Melnick motto. Okay.
Funniest thing is I believe actually either this year or last year, the final Betamax production plant for like blank Betamax tapes closed down recently in Japan.
Did they have a ceremony? I mean, I would think they would have a bowing at least. I'm kidding.
It's possible. It's
sayonara very kind of thing, you know?
The funniest thing is they still make VHS tapes. They still make VHS.
Okay. I've seen also recently they're making audio cassettes still.
I know for Record Store Day. For Record Store Day last year when Guardians of the Galaxy was like still kind of hot, you know, the post-year afterwards.
Okay.
You could actually get a copy of the Awesome Mix Volume 1 on cassette stylized like Star-Lord's cassette.
That would be capitalizing on it, so I could see that.
I would have.
Nostalgically, you wanted, oh yeah, you know, yeah.
I would have loved to have gotten a copy of that just because I know, I believe a friend of the show, Mitch Halleck, who's running Terrificon this year in Uncasville, Connecticut in the Mohegan Sun Casino, he's actually credited in the credits.
Very nice.
So it's, you know, it's one of those little things that, you know, you see that and it's such a neat little thing. But yeah. For me with, you know, the whole cassette idea, I like the fact that you could like he actually had an actual Sony Walkman that he had for the little cassette tape
with the headset and the orange headphones.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, the orange padded headsets.
And it was a real, you know, it was a real one. And like if you go on eBay, those go for $500, a piece of crap plastic that, you know, kind of doesn't work that well anymore.
It never cost you that to get it in the '80s to begin with.
And now,
you know, $30 maybe then.
It's people trying to capitalize on the cosplaying community when you think about it. Like really, you know.
Well, we have to go into cosplay at some point as well.
And oh, yeah.
Capitalizing on that whole the industry, which is really now an industry in itself.
Well, you and I discussed off mic as well that, you know, I informed you that, you know, Hasbro is planning on making cosplay material, like, you know, actual masks and everything.
Okay.
And it's, right. I don't know if like, if that's, I feel like that's cheating in a way. Cause like, you know, you want to like build this stuff up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, some people are true core, hardcore cosplay people. And at least in one and in a couple to follow Cosplay Connection interviews, yes, they talk about making their own stuff. But to be maybe more mass appeal oriented, and again, capitalizing it, this is, you know,
it's a market.
This is the market that it is. And in a way, you can't blame it. They're not pillaging it or whatever or distorting it out of the way, but I guess you have to take a side kind of thing. If people would like to do, but they just aren't talented or don't have the time or inclination, but they want to dress like a cosplayer would, they'll go for the
they think like a cosplayer. They get into the mind. It's going to turn into Kraven the Hunter for a second. But yeah, I mean, like I definitely think like the cosplay community is like it's just such a – it's a cool little subculture and it's getting more mainstream to the point where like, you know, you have on the table right here where we're recording a cosplay magazine that you got in a local grocery store.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's crazy, but super glossy, it's cool.
It's kind of slippery almost that it – you know, it's $6. I said, let me take a shot. It's called Cosplay Culture.
Let me actually get a look at this.
And one character that I've seen through Facebook is on there. It's Ivy Doomkitty.
And you can actually find her on Facebook and the Twitter. I don't know her URLs or whatnot offhand, but
there's actually a couple of pages or a few pages on the East Coast Comic Con.
Really?
And I saw some pictures, and I said, oh, I took a picture of that person. I took that person's picture, you know, whatever.
It's right.
Johnny Depp movie. Pirates of Wonderland, I think.
Yeah.
That character is in there. There's a guy who is all dressed, sort of Transformer-looking-like, but only it's a lot of zip ties, different colors.
Right.
He's in there.
Wow.
And a few others that I had also taken some pictures of just my own camera. And again, I really like that show, the East Coast Comic Con.
Yeah, definitely.
For the second time going to it.
Cliff Galbraith's East Coast Comic Con, which, by the way, he's going to be having his Monsters and Robots in August. Go to www.monstersandrobots.com. It's actually going to be featuring a ton of guests that I'm excited for myself.
Nice.
Including, I believe, Ari something. I don't know his name offhand, but he was actually the first person to play Jason Voorhees in the Friday the 13th franchise.
Oh.
I think this was pre-bag on his head. Not, this was before he got the hockey mask off of the annoying kid with the little fro. You know? So, but yeah, like a lot, there's going to be a lot of people, including Ted Raimi, you know, Sam Raimi's brother, who, you know, has been involved in the horror, you know, movies like Evil Dead, Army of Darkness. I believe he's also been in the Spider-Man films as well.
Wow.
Good old Spider-Man. So, now,
you rename characters again. Jeez.
One of your favorite characters, by the way, I believe, is a man whose head is on fire. Yes, that's right. The Goose Rider. I mean, sorry, Ghost Rider.
Oh, you bastard. I don't know here. Okay.
And supposedly, he might be a part of the upcoming season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they actually recently showed this bus, and it says, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yada, yada, yada. And how many Marvel characters have flaming chains?
Maybe two. In some respect.
They're saying right now there's a casting list saying that it might be Ghost Rider. Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think Ghost Rider is going to make it in? Like, would you rather see him, though, get his own series?
Hard to tell. I mean, I haven't sat down to think of who should get, who's in the now happening circle kind of thing as to whatever.
Would you want to see Nicolas Cage play him again?
I only know him playing that.
I think
we can get into the differences between the two Ghost Rider movies as well for a little bit, but I don't have a problem with him being Ghost Rider. That's how I've seen him. I know him as that. You know, he has said he's been a fan of the comics, and
I mean, he's a big fan of comics. Stuff,
but yeah,
he was recently at a Las Vegas comic convention 2 weekends ago, and he was buying lots of comic books, Silver Age stuff by Stan Lee. Stuff like Spider-Man, stuff like the Fantastic Four, and Hulk.
And he can put it in, he still has that mansion, I think, in Transylvania.
Oh, did he really?
I'm not sure if he sold it. I knew he...
Transylvania.
Exactly. And I'm trying to remember the line that from the first girl that he said into the mirror.
He was watching documentaries about chimpanzees, eating the bananas.
Listening to the Carpenters. Yeah.
Oh, I even watched that movie. I didn't care for the first one. I did like the second Ghost Rider. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, I'm one
All
of
All right, you've given me a revelation. Well, we can go into this now then, I guess. All right, listeners, here we go. The first one, I think, had to set the tone.
Yeah. Well, I watched the director's cut, and it was...
Now, let me ask you before we get into this. Had you read any Ghost Rider before seeing the first movie?
No.
Okay. Cut to the scene where he's driving his motorcycle up the side of the building and shattering all the glass. That's straight out of the comic book. And I applauded
from
that
the 70s? Wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Nice.
From the first run. That's what he did, kind of thing. So I thought it was on the money as far as at least that part of it was concerned. You know, it's tough to give voice to a character who is demonical. But I think it worked for the most part. And the chain flaming and so on. Yeah, I think this is a pretty good rendition of it. Second one, as most people know, was pretty much panned.
I liked it, and I don't know why.
I just interpret it as, yes, it was different. It was a darker film. In fact...
It was so
his skeleton, his skull, was like a charcoal gray, pretty much, if I remember it right. He was dark. It wasn't a bone white skull.
Right.
It was a different interpretation. He had the leather, he had the chain, maybe again darker overall in material. And with the supernatural stuff, you know, I can guess go so far and push a boundary here and there. But okay, this is what it was. And so on.
Yeah.
So be it, kind of thing. Now, if he's going to be an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, as you may know, or some other shows that I wrote down that are on my DVR to watch to the tune of 85-90% full.
You have a lot.
I
thought I was behind.
No, no, no. when I'm behind comic book reading from like 1993 and DVR shows and so on, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
But again, with S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, they want to try that. Let's see if they can justify it and give it good credence, get into how they're going to establish going that direction. And maybe he's going to be incorporated into a group. Champions, maybe, for example.
That'd be cool.
Which he was part of. And for a brief period of time, the Defender.
Wasn't he in the Defenders? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
Stuck on that. No, I don't believe so. But in the late 80s, early 90s, part of a new assembly, I think it was only assemblage of the Fantastic Four.
And like, they have so many different teams, though, with Marvel, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to keep all.
They're doing the U.S. Avengers now with Red Hulk, and I am not 100%, but I believe Squirrel Girl as well.
Wow.
So
yeah, things can go all over the place and so on. And you can look at the Defenders and dissect their lineup and so on. I mean, Avengers, there's a prime example.
Yeah.
I think when I was collecting and the lineups were changing in the 70s and the 80s, I could almost go verbatim. Okay, this one's an Avenger now, this one's not, or what kind of thing. They went off and do their own thing. But I guess maybe there's some change up that is good, and versatility. I think that's what I was looking for with having them in, having them not in, kind of thing. It was I've framed from a Marvel magazine the Avengers Charter.
Right.
Of 2 pages in length, and how this was, you know, like a legal document and what you needed to become a member and so
That's
on.
Awesome.
And so I said, well, this is no good to me having it in the magazine. I'm going to take it out, copy it, and hang it up, whatever, if I ever think about joining. No, kidding. That's definitely...
I would definitely support you in the Avengers, just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, in doing different costumes and Captain America being one of them, which in a sense I could say I'm not worthy because it's not a... it's not a Marvel movie Captain America. I just segued into Captain Avenger. That's something else altogether. Nonetheless,
I think I know that guy.
America, yes, you do. This Captain America was the lighter blue-colored version and beefed-up muscles that I think is truer to form of the comic book variety. Most people are now used to the darker blue version and the belt assembly, not a utility belt, but having the brown leather strap for the gun holster and so on.
The good old days of pouches.
That's it, yeah.
Like the 90s.
Not the fanny pack. That's something else.
Well, now speaking of the characters and teams and whatnot, going back to the U.S. Avengers and the character Squirrel Girl, do you know the movie Pitch Perfect at all?
Just in title, to be honest, yeah. Rebel Wilson, that's the name that comes to mind.
One of the actresses involved in that, Anna Kendrick, she actually said, listen, if I ever want to do a Marvel movie, I want to do Squirrel Girl. And you know what? I 100% approve of that decision. I would love to see her play Squirrel Girl, because I've been going through the Howard the Duck run and in turn read some of the unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Is Heck it through yeah. Howard the Duck that Squirrel Girl came to be? Because I have no idea.
No. It was a Marvel holiday special from the 90s, I think.
All right.
And she made an appearance in an Iron Man story drawn by Steve Ditko.
An Iron Man story? So not necessarily in an Iron Man title?
Correct. It was like – it was a Iron Man story in a Marvel compilation book. And she was just a throwaway character. She came out in that appearance, disappeared until the 2000s. When Dan Slott, who, by the way, will be at Terrificon in Uncasville, Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun Casino and stuff. Yeah, he, you know, brought her into the Great Lakes Avengers.
The Great Lakes Avengers. Oh, yes. Okay. You can't forget them.
The gallery of all those duds.
Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, they were just minor characters that didn't get stutter much. Didn't get developed.
Right.
I guess...
Until the 2000s.
I'm probably on the heels of the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah.
Which, for you alphabetically filing titles, where did you stand? West Coast Avengers under W or Avengers West Coast under A? Which came first? I think it was the W.
Or the egg.
No, not the egg.
So now, you know, I think the idea, though, of a Squirrel Girl movie could work. Or even just, like, you know, have her be, like, you know, a throwaway character in, like, a Marvel film. Like, in all honesty... With the upcoming, is it Infinity War? Is it not? I don't know.
I got it. Put her like at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy and have her be in the collector's
How great would that be? Yes, definitely. That would rule. But like, I like the idea like of just like, we're already hearing with, what's it called? Infinity War. There's going to be 80-something characters.
Wow.
Throw her in there.
I suppose.
Because I mean, like,
80 characters.
Like, the thing is, like, you know, Daredevil, for example, which, by the way, Daredevil Season 1 is finally coming out to Blu-ray. I'm kind of excited because, yeah, you could stream it, all this stuff. But guess what? I'm one of those people. I like owning it in my hands. I like,
sure.
You know, we actually had this conversation, I believe, on the podcast Move, where, you know, which was released 1 year ago as of this recording, July 1st. But I like owning these things. You know what I mean? But anyway, so Daredevil might make an appearance in that Avengers movie. Jessica Jones might make an appearance. And I like that idea. I think, you know, showing how wide and encompassing the Marvel universe really is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why when you mentioned earlier about X-Men being in the universe, I mean, it's all part of it. And how they integrate it, it will be kind of important. And,
yeah.
And will be ripped apart.
I think it'll be
criticized if it's not done right or this way or that way. And we just have to go with what they do, unfortunately. You might not like it. You can voice your opinion. That's fine. And if you have millions of dollars, you can do it your way.
That's what I've always thought.
Yeah.
Well, it goes, you know, hand in hand with the Ghostbusters fiasco currently going on, you know, about the all-female Ghostbusters.
Yeah, well, that's out relatively soon, and
I'm kind of for it.
Let's see what happens. So, you know, this is what they're doing.
You'll see me every once in a while on Twitter. I actually tweet to Paul Feige, the guy who's directing it, and, like, he's liked every single one of my tweets where I've said it. I'm just like, I'm kind of behind you guys because you have a good track record. And I immediately got tweeted at by a random internet troll who would look up the Ghostbusters hashtag and attack people defending the movie.
You sure it was a troll and not a gnome?
He probably looked like one. Oh. One of the two.
You'll never roam alone, right?
But it's kind of funny. Like, there are these people out there that have that much free time on their hands where they'll devote a Twitter account to either defend or protest a movie. It's insane.
If I were to get free time, I think I need to do some kind of osmosis, split myself, and be able to get stuff done at home versus work.
And, I wouldn't blame you.
Really get somewhere. That would be very cool.
But, like, you know, I've been attacked by people for hating on Batman v Superman, and I've been attacked by people for defending Ghostbusters. And I'm like, the effort these people go to for this stuff, they could do so much better stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's all opinion. Everybody's got one, and just move along.
For a friend of the show, BJ Booth of the podcast Raging Nerd On, he was talking to me about this, and the people that go on that, you know, say, oh, I would do this, but you won't because you don't have the effort to do it. Mm. These people won't do it. You know, like, that's why, you know, I actually like his, you know, mindset with a lot of these things. Like, I'll see something that I don't like, but there is a positive to it because there's all these creative types involved. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's still their hard work behind it. You know, like Tommy Wiseau with the movie The Room, which, if you've ever seen, is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But there's a lot of heart behind it. Mm. This is actually a movie, by the way, if you read the book The Disaster Artist, the guy who plays Mark, he reveals, you know, little things like Tommy made this stand, by the way, where he shot the film in HD and standard definition, like with film. So he shot it on digital and on film.
Okay.
The HD copy's never been released, but they shot him on both formats on this rig he made with two cameras connected to each other, like duct taped pretty much.
Must have been a reason. Let's see if we can do this and make a comparison. I don't know.
It was bizarre, but anyway. So now going back to both of our favorite superheroes, Spidey. So did you see the new modified Spider-Man costume for the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming film?
You know, I might have somewhere in passing. I can't recall. Maybe in a photo that was a kind of a first release, a first preview of and that kind of thing. And different, I think, material.
Yeah.
In appearance, if nothing else, possibly different shading on the blue and the red. And I think more blue incorporated into the, at least the hands and the glove going up the arm kind of thing.
As a Spider fan, do you feel this the third time is going to be the
charm?
Yeah, the charm. There we go. I was going to say the try.
Lucky Charms. Love that cereal growing up.
Delicious, so right?
That's it. Magically.
Heart, stars, and horseshoes, clovers, and blue moons, pots of golden rainbows, and the red balloons.
Can you say hit a nerve here? Okay.
Yeah.
It's not even breakfast time right now. Okay, fine.
Well, Kellogg's.
That would be a new kind of weird.
To be fair, Kellogg's is going to be opening up an upcoming restaurant where it's going to be breakfast all day, so you can go and get cereal any time of the day.
Cool.
It's going to be at Times Square, so it's going to be expensive as hell.
Oh, okay. It's not going to start in, like, Battle Creek, Michigan.
No. Okay. And I just started shaking my head for you on an audio podcast, so.
Yeah, you couldn't hear the rattle. It's okay.
Nope.
Charm, third time, Spidey suit. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's a different version. It's a different interpretation, and it's being called Homecoming.
I
thought it was just actually initially just going to be called, what, Spider-Man?
Yeah, it's going to be Homecoming, which, by the way, is one of the words that sets off Bucky in Captain America Civil War.
It is, yeah. Isn't it? Okay. There was just some random words in that was unreal. It's a Civil War
I'm kind of looking forward to the Inhumans freight car. Like, I'm really excited for that one. That one, you know, if we're going to go with like different words from that, you know, little thing.
That was, I think, of a previous cast that was said that, okay, Inhumans, you know, in the batter's box or whatever kind of thing, but I didn't know how far away.
Inhumans right now is on indefinite hiatus.
Ah, no wonder. Yep. Okay, where were they supposed to show up originally?
They've been hinting at the Inhumans, I believe, through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
From what I've heard. But to be honest, to quote Steven Sadak of We Hate Movies, you would have to tie me to a chair and beat me with socks filled with bars of soap to make me watch that show. I'll be completely honest. Like, I cannot watch that show. Like,
yeah, well, at some point when it first started, no?
I have the first season. I've watched bits and pieces. I'm just like, I couldn't connect into it, to be honest. It just... Okay. Out of all the Marvel television shows, I still feel Jessica Jones is the hands down the best one they've ever done.
That's come along later. Okay. Yeah. Well, what was the whole Phil Coulson connection with the Thor and the Avengers movie that brought you hopefully over to that? And then even when Sif came in for an episode with the Cthulhu connection and so on, and that was,
I love Cthulhu. Okay.
Cthulhu. It's almost like Cthulhu.
That sounds like a Don Martin sound effect from Mad Magazine.
Yeah, I could be. I'm not a fan of that too. But you know.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, with what's it called? There was a point I had just now. I'm probably going to remember it afterwards.
It's dull.
Yeah. I need the pencil sharpener. What can
we're
I say?
Not as sharp as we used to be, I suppose. I don't know. We're just aging as the podcast goes on.
It's true. It's true. But
Ghost Rider, S.H.I.E.L.D. All right, let's give it a shot. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. rather, and see what happens.
I forgot my point again. Sorry. But anyway, so now speaking of Spider-Man, by the way. Carnage might be in Spider-Man Homecoming. And once again, I'm kind of getting annoyed with the Spider-Man casting news because they've pretty much just thrown everybody in the kitchen sink into this movie, which, hey, you know, it makes no sense, though, to have this character, Cletus Kasady, because he gets possessed by the symbiote, tomato.
Yeah, toy boat.
Tomato. They're all spelled the same on the cue cards, Jimmy. But So I think what they're going to probably do is have Cletus Kasady in there, but pre-symbiote and everything, whatever.
So a slow intro to it. That's fine.
Yeah.
When you said about too many in one, I mean, yeah, the third Spider-Man movie kind of did that too. Sandman.
Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
Everybody was in that thing.
And hello. Norman. Harry as the second Green Goblin.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, it's still not as bad as, you know, jamming as many characters in as they did with a certain Batman and Superman movie that I can't name the title of. I think we both know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Although, I will say I'm very happy to hear that the reviews so far for the Ultimate Edition of Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice is positive.
All right.
Because digital went first.
Let me just take point with you on so many characters into the DC universe into Beep and Beep Superman. Okay, fine. You know what? DC's got to catch up. I believe. That's what I'm hearing. I kind of agree with it. DC has to catch up with Marvel if they can, if they need to, whatever. I know Batman v Superman kind of fell on its face for several reasons. And
it's not Marvel.
It's not Marvel. This was probably their way of saying, okay, we're going to get a first glimpse, so at least folks will get a sampling of who these are. And so you have, unlike little trading cards, one screenshot at a time, sort of, and a little bit of motion as to here's this character that's bearded and under the sea and has a spear. There's our Aquaman. Okay, you've got Cyborg and the rest of them. So, okay, you're getting a first exposure to them. And that's how you kind of maybe take a shortcut
right.
or try to save time. And so be it. That's it. Because everybody's not getting their own movie. That's for sure. And an origin story. Because then it's going to be the year 2035, I suppose, by the time Justice League comes out or whatever the case is.
Well, my thing is...
So that's it. Go.
My thing is, like, I just want to see, you know... I want to see DC put out something really good. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And they
I'm excited for
Suicide... They can do it, I, you know.
I have faith in Suicide Squad.
There's the one to look for. Okay, that's gotten, I think it's been taught, we talked about this too. I know you did at least. I think what will help with Suicide Squad is the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Just like I think a very significant factor in the movie's success and the demographic age-wise was Guardians of the Galaxy and all that 70s music. And very similar idea thinking, if you're not overly realizing it, for Suicide Squad. People who may know zero or me next very close to zero on these characters, yeah, I'll see it. I'll see what it's all about. It's not one that I'm going to wait for on DVD or whatever and see what becomes of it.
I know I'll be there opening night for in 2 months for that. Or next month. Wow, next month.
No, it's August, what, 5th?
Yeah, I keep thinking like it's, you know, like I keep thinking I'm in June right now.
We were.
Yeah.
We were recently. And I mean, I.
Less than 24 hours ago.
I can't do any time stamping here with what you, when you, because you're putting on these shows, of course, a lot quicker than I am doing these Cosplay Connection interviews. It's just a big time gap. It can be a couple months from my actually recording to the actual getting the editing. It's just a whole, it's a time thing, you know, work gets in the way and stuff. But again, it's something else. The whole connection thing we'll get into, maybe get back to that in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but Suicide Squad, yeah, I'm getting a good vibe out of that from what I'm seeing on the trailer, and you know the rest will follow.
They had me at Sweet's Ballroom Blitz. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, yeah, and that's been used elsewhere, whether it's been a comic book movie or not. But I do remember it being in something. Maybe it was a TV show. In fact, that they just dropped it in. Hey, so be it. Let it go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I'm just excited. Like, by the way, like as you know, a person in radio, you know, a DJ, what is it, you know, have you heard like, you know, reaction to like from the average person about the Guardian soundtrack? Like, you know what I mean? Like man on the street kind of thing?
Yeah, it was good. The music was really good in that, you know, kind of thing. And that would be really some people that were into the comics more so, but that was chimed in, that comment. So, yeah, it worked. I'm guessing they should do possibly something similar when they get to the second Guardian.
Oh, they will.
So, yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Awesome X Volume 2 is going to have some great stuff.
Yeah.
I can, like, and as a matter of fact, if you check out the Guardians of the Galaxy television series that they do from Disney XD, they actually feature the, you know, music, the classic rock. A lot of it.
Okay, yeah, and you know, you even got to see from the end of Guardians how the one song "Ain't No Mountain High Enough"
right
was part of Awesome Mix 2 that he
was. Up. Do you think it was?
Like, he put another cassette in there, and that was Awesome Mix 2. At least that's what it said from his
true,
mom.
True.
And he opened so we, up, so we got that his... was it, and that was the first song to kind of thing. And then you got into what the Jackson 5 song. That group, little group dance too when you know Drax wasn't looking and so on. You know?
Man, I went out of tune on that one just now. Holy crap!
I was with you there. Yeah. Not out of tune, but I kind of like okay, you were yeah. That was fine. So,
but now going back to the Spider-Man stuff, they're actually trying to make like its own little mini universe while still being a part of the DC's. I mean, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they're actually supposedly saying that a character who was introduced in the Spider-Man franchise, Silver Sable, is going to get her own movie.
You know, you said Silver Sable. I was going to go Silver Surfer. Only because
oh, I wish.
No, well, no. Well, yeah, I think you know where I'm going, and I may have done this already, because at the end of Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, you saw him floating in space, and just before he went out of camera shot, his eyes opened up again. So he was floating around there after the whole, you know, Galactus thing.
Why not make a Silver Surfer, you know, connection with these things? Why can't they do that? I know the rights,
Who
but...
said they can't?
He's a part of the Fantastic Four, which makes no sense to me because how do they have the Inhumans, which were introduced in the FF?
Okay. Just now, as X-Men is being incorporated and indoctrinated into the whole cinematic universe, well, why can't Silver Surfer be, you know, not too far behind?
Right.
The barrier will be taken down and they'll be incorporated into it. And I think that would be great to put him into, and he's a cosmic character for crying out loud. It's a no-brainer. Get him in there with the Guardians, the Infinity War, and a major player at that.
Right now, to me, the Fantastic Four, Galactus, Silver Surfer, all these characters. There was a comic strip I saw, and I'll bring it up. I bring it up again, but it was the Avengers fighting, you know, New York City, yada yada yada, as little kids, and all of a sudden you see a person with a suit on and a Sony badge pulling Spider-Man on a leash. No, you can't play with them. That's exactly what it is right now.
That almost makes me angry, but they wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Well, you know what bums me out? They want to do Fantastic Four number 2.
Rise that I just mentioned?
No. Thing.
Oh, the one that Pantsless Thing, yeah.
They want to bring a sequel to that, but you know,
still talking about that? I thought that was given up.
Well, the funniest thing is this. They want to do it, but guess what happened?
What?
Michael B. Jordan, Human Torch, is going to be in Black Panther.
Going to be in Black Panther.
Yep. So how are you guys going to do that now?
As what? As the Torch?
As a character, like a random character from Wakanda, I believe.
Okay. Which, random, maybe minor, not as prominent. I don't know.
The reason he's in it is because the director Coogler was the one that did Creed, and he was in Creed. He was the star of Creed.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, he's got another role. He's got another job. There you go. Another paycheck. Like I said.
I mean, I like Michael B. Jordan. You know, he was fantastic. You know, in the roles he's been in so far, with the exception of Fantastic Four, which can you blame him? You know, with all, I think. A documentary about the making of that movie would be interesting because of all the crap that went on, both literally and metaphorically.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Sure. That would be watchable. I don't know how popular, but I can see that. And I think he did do, and I really, that's the only thing I have seen him in is as the Torch. I think he did the role as best he could, to integrate him, so to speak. And I'm not talking about anything other than having him fit in, was tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And maybe they wanted to go after that boundary and you know, deviate so much from what you knew and loved growing up with the Fantastic Four.
Right.
Some things you can't mess with.
Yeah, I agree.
And you gotta give the thing some pants. Period. I'm sorry. Exclamation point.
Well, the funniest thing is, how did he get into that Denny's when they were doing the commercial for the promotional stuff with the Thing Burger and
smoke and mirrors?
Because how could he get into a Denny's? There's, you know, no shirt, no shoes. He has no pants on. I don't think he's allowed in there with no pants on.
Well, they didn't say no pants, so.
but then he has to wear like flip flops or something, and like, you know, a Hawaiian shirt.
You know what? That would work. That would be a great – yeah, that's a great thing.
But the thing is, you know, with these things – by the way, still, I will stand by the fact that the Thing's voice was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in a movie.
Too soft-spoken, perhaps. Yes.
He should be that guy from Yancey Street. He's going to be messing with the Yancey Street punks. Do that.
He is, but he doesn't mean he came from there, does it?
Hmm.
You definitely needed to go deeper. Not gravelly.
Meh.
My man, Michael Chiklis, did it very well.
Oh, man, did he. Yes, so, I 110% agree.
Yeah, but he sounded kind of wimpy. You know, wimpy.
Like, not hefty, hefty, hefty?
No, wimpy, wimpy, like I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, Popeye. Wimpy.
I like that reference. Thank you for that.
It's where I can go sometimes, and sometimes it just doesn't work. But
now going back to Silver Sable, a character who was introduced in the Spider-Man universe.
Spider-Man? Spider-Man now. I don't know. I got to get your dirt terms down.
Well, with Silver Sable, the character was introduced. What do you think about the idea of this movie happening? Are you excited for it? Or
I've
indifferent.
I only it's been a while that I've read up any Silver Sable.
Oh, you know, Silver Sable stuff will be happening again.
Well, that's good. Got that run. Silver Sable and I forgot the rest of that title, but. In the 90s also.
And the Funky Bunch.
The Funky Bunch. That's Marky Mark, for crying out loud. We're getting a music reference here. Nice try. Got that run, 23 issues or something like that. The toughest one to get.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Yeah, Marky Mark had a run. Did you know that? Yeah. On your left. another bad reference. But it works. That issue run, the tough one to get in that, if you decide to collect, is the Daredevil issue.
Isn't that the one with Deadpool?
Might be also that issue 23, I think it was. And it's a new Daredevil costume.
I'm going to look on my phone at my comic collection right now. And
you go ahead. You do that so much better than I ever even attempted to. But Silver Sable, of course, I think I remember seeing in other books, like some Spider-Man title and a couple of other things like that. So I really need to catch up on so far behind, all that kind of stuff.
Silver Sable and the Wild Pack, by the way.
The Wild Pack, thank you. Okay. And is it, you and knew it, it, you yelled it before we knew it.
Is this the 23 you're talking about?
Yeah, that'd be the one.
I got it at a flea market for $3 recently.
I did good on that myself, too. So, yeah.
Is it an expensive book now?
It might be because of the characters in it.
Yeah, Deep Pity and, you know, Daredevil.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Because of those things that drives the price up. And just like a 2014 run of, I think the Hulk had a Deadpool in it too.
Really? I didn't know that.
And I think that cover, I think it was number 13 in that run. But that cover had Deadpool's head on it with the Hulk's hand
covering
his face and saying, hey, that's this is a way to treat a guest host or something.
That's 2014, not 2004. I have that issue, and I actually got a cover price a few months ago from a local comic shop.
Yeah, I did good with that too, yeah.
And it goes like 20-something bucks or something now?
Insane.
I stand by my favorite purchase I've ever made was back in the 2010, 2011, they were like doing a Marvel What If in like certain issues of Marvel books. And it was like you'll get part two in this issue and part three in this, blah, blah, blah. But they collected it in one issue. What if Venom possessed Deadpool? That book goes for about almost $400 because of how limited a run. Now, Eddie,
okay.
I'm going to give you three guesses how much I spent for that book.
Well, it wasn't a three-digit figure, that's for sure.
Nope, because I don't like doing that.
No, and I'm guessing it could even be only maybe $10 or something.
Nope.
So less than a two-digit figure, so you're golden.
Well, it's actually less than a one-digit figure as well, because I spent less than 25 cents for it.
Well, that's just a stroke of genius, or something, or just sheer dumb luck.
This was actually at the place, we're not going to say the name of it, just to be safe, because we want to keep our comic shops where we can find our great finds to ourselves, but I will say it's where someone got his Hellboy book from. So
okay,
yeah,
I gotcha. Yeah, okay. Well, that was a great find.
Yes, it was.
The Hellboy book from Next Men issue 21 for $1. Right,
I'd buy that for $1.
That was probably my best find. Now that you made me think about it, sure. But it almost sounds like you may have not even. Are you sure it was a purchase?
It was.
Okay. So money was transacted for that.
Mm-hmm. So now, speaking of Deadpool, by the way, Deadpool 2 is going to be starting filming beginning of next year, and also it's going to get double the budget, so that means there's going to be a lot more X-Men in there. More than two this time.
How does that equate? I, you know, you mentioned to me off mic, but how does double the budget mean more X-Men?
Oh, think about, you know, like paying to get somebody in there, yada, yada, yada.
But why are you relegating it to just X-Men? Because he started there? I don't know.
Well, he was never an X-Man. He was a part of the Weapon X program.
Okay.
But I'm personally excited about the potential. Like, we're already guaranteed one X-Man in the form of Nathan Desanispring Gesundheit Summers or whatever his name is. But I like the fact that, you know, we're going to be getting these movies. And I like Deadpool a lot. And I think it was the closest to what the humor of the character encompasses in most forms.
It's just a natural progression that it would incorporate more X-Men. Okay, so I'm just busting chops on that.
I know. I'm just excited to see this movie happening because there's going to be so many – like what storyline could they go with? We don't know.
And maybe that's the way it should be for now. Let that be held until the powers that be decide to say, okay, here's a little bit about Deadpool 2.
I kind of want to see them do a 22 Jump Street where they end up, you know, making fun of the fact they have a larger budget now. So they, you know, like in 22 Jump Street, Ice Cube makes a comment. And he's like, yeah, I'm wearing $5,000 shoes. You can't see them. Like they just blew their budget on that and like blowing things up.
Sure, and that would be something that I'm sure the delivery that Deadpool did, breaking that fourth wall, talking to the audience, will say, hey, we've got a lot more money to spend now since you guys really loved the first time I was here.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll be, so expect to see.
I want to see Deadpool throwing caviar at people.
Sure, why not? For you?
Like $5,000 bottles of caviar.
Sky's the limit, sure, absolutely.
I want to see it happen. It would be fantastic.
They didn't say a projected release yet for that, did they?
I believe it's going to be 2018, so it's going to be every other year we're going to get a Deadpool movie if this happens.
Okay.
And the turnaround time for a lot of these things is crazy.
Crazy in a good way.
Oh, yeah. Although it bums me out that, you know, we were supposed to have Gambit this fall, and that's not happening.
It went bye-bye?
Supposedly, Channing Tatum might be going to DC now. So
okay, it's all about the money.
It's rumored right now he might be playing Captain Marvel, aka Shazam.
Well, now
I'd be down with that. I wouldn't mind.
That's something else. Okay, that's fine. There was at least one other that a while back, well, within the last year, I'm going to say, there was a listing, probably through Facebook, of, you know, the projected movie releases for the next couple or so years, up to 2019 or thereabouts. They had actually moved up Doctor Strange.
They moved up Wonder Woman as well.
Sooner, but it's November 4th, I think.
It's crazy. Like, I thought Doctor Strange would be before, you know, New York Comic Con, to be quite honest.
That's, you know, that would have been good timing, possibly. End of September, early October.
Yeah.
Before it really hit. But it's a matter of so many things that we don't know about or don't get to know about.
Now, I know we talk primarily, like we did a lot of talk today about the, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe and all this stuff. But there, of course, is a thing called a comic book where a lot of these things come from, the source material. And this week it was revealed that you are no longer a Hydra member.
Captain America. Yes, one of my guys is correct. Yes, and so distraught.
Wait a minute, you're not Captain America?
No. I said one of my many guys is, but that
I'm on to you. I'm on to you, Wilson.
It is just mind-boggling to have him go in that direction. And
The silly thing is, people actually believe that their Facebook, you know, arguing and like death threats to Nick Spencer, the writer, were like, "Oh, we changed the book." No, because it's a book. They write it months and months in advance.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, going to placate to these people like. My favorite one was a guy who was a soldier, and he said, "I believe in everything Captain America does, blah, blah, blah." And then it turns out you ruined it for me, so now I'm going to become a killer or something. And I'm like,
no, come on.
What are you talking about?
Separate the reality from the fiction.
These people are insane. Like, when Dan Slott killed Spider-Man, he was getting death threats for killing Spider-Man.
From what, Ultimates?
No, regular Spider-Man. When he was taken over by Doc Ock.
There's a oh, see, there's part of the gap that's actually a cavern.
And it's like people actually think that, you know, this is going to stay forever. I'm like, you do realize there are these things called movies that they have to change it to you know, go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – I'm sorry. I meant to say Canyon. Yeah, that's a big
– yeah.
But to catch up with – I mean, the run is there that I need to start with. I don't know, somewhere in the 300s, like 335 of Amazing Spider-Man, just to back up a minute, and then get up to 700, and then get into Superior, and so on and so forth.
Good luck picking up, by the way, Amazing Spider-Man number 611. There's a reason.
Tell me. I can't. It's not ringing a bell.
I will show you the cover, and when you see it, obviously this is going to be the fun part for the audience at home,
they can't see it. It's not fun for them. Come on.
It'll be fun for me. Well, technically, you guys can go search this. Do a quick Google search.
Yeah, right. DIY. Mm-hmm.
So... yes, I agree.
Not just for home improvement things anymore. DIY.
Exacto. Let's see.
Exacto. That's like a knife, a cutting knife. Yes, for arts and crafts. Exacto. Okay.
I'm actually doing a quick get cover on the CBI app. This is why you will not be able to get this book for a normal price for a while.
611. It's a Deadpool.
Yep.
Wow.
By Scotty Young, no less, too. So.
All right. Well, it's in there. It's in the run. My run.
You have the book?
It's Amazing Spider-Man number 611.
Yeah, you have it.
I have the run. I picked up the run where I had stopped in like the 1993 from like 335, and I got the run up to 700.
A local shop near both of us, Main Street Comics, actually had a crap ton of that book back in the day, like not long after it came out, and there was a ton of them. I grabbed my copy. I'm kicking myself not getting a second or third, to be completely honest.
I was not into and really hadn't done duplicate copies of anything. Unless I know within recent years,
unless you accidentally get one or yeah,
exactly. I mean, I know something that I did for the first time purposely, intentionally get was circa 1980, I think, when Alpha Flight came out with John Byrne on the cover. And I like John Byrne's artwork. So I said, I'm going to get one, a second one. And I also had gotten intentionally two copies of the DC and Marvel title from 1982, the X-Men and New Teen Titans.
I actually fairly recently got a copy of a double accidentally of the Marvel team up from the 2000s written by Robert Walking Dead Kirkman, where it's Spider-Man teaming up with Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Okay.
And depending on how the movie does, there's a possibility I may actually sell that one. Because
there you go. Okay.
Because think about it. You know, it's a double whammy. You get, you know, Doctor Strange, who's going to be a hot character soon, possibly.
Possibly.
And Walking Dead. Because Kirkman did a lot of Marvel stuff. He was the guy, you know, responsible for Marvel Zombies, which I absolutely love, to a degree. Because then it fell off, it careened off of a canyon.
I was going to say, didn't seem to have too much of a run, the whole zombie thing.
They bring it every once in a while. Like, they did it for Secret Wars fairly recently with Battle World. Okay. Yeah, they...
You know what? That's a part of the catch-up that I'm not going after, and that's okay.
They can be expensive, as I believe
that's
you...
There's a reason not to do it as well.
I mean, myself, I'm only interested in the Army of Darkness versus Marvel Zombies run. That's the only thing, and I'm missing only two issues, so...
Yeah, well, there you go, right.
Now, speaking of Marvel, I guess Marvel and DC... Or Marvel and Disney and Marvel-related employees, I would say... Samuel L. Jackson says that Mace Windu of Star Wars, and by the way, this is the only non-Marvel topic for today.
Okay.
Mace Windu is still alive in the Star Wars universe, and George Lucas agrees.
Yeah, okay. Well, after all that time, what do you do here? Well,
they ended up, you saw Phantom Menace, right? With, remember when Darth Maul gets sliced in half and falls down the thing?
Yes.
You know he's still alive in Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Because he possessed spider legs. And became a half man, half alien, half robot.
Oh boy!
In the Clone Wars cartoon, which, by the way, I highly recommend all of you out there give it a watch. Very good show. One of my personal favorites of the Star Wars canon. But anyway, he possessed robot legs, and now he's still alive in the universe, and he might even be still alive in the Force Awakens universe. So you never know.
You don't? I mean, geez. Okay. Well, they'll bring him back, and they'll have to explain after you get over the shock of what.
I want to see a Mace Windu movie. With Sam Jackson, you know, like with a gray beard and everything. I want to see that. I think that'd be awesome.
Well, no. Okay.
Maybe, you know, to like make up for him getting screwed over last year with Hateful Eight, throw on Quentin Tarantino and make a movie with Sam Jackson in the Star Wars canon. Why not?
They can't all be successes, you know.
I would love to see that. I think it'd be fantastic. Just, you know, have him like if you can get somebody to have Sam Jackson show his evil side to him. Have it be Tarantino. You know what I mean?
That would bring it out the most successfully, perhaps?
Yeah. I think it could work. I mean, although the funniest thing is fairly recently, people were talking about it on Reddit the other day with the Sam Jackson thing. Did you know, by the way, Boba Fett, remember he dies down the Sarlacc pit in Return of the Jedi?
Yes.
George Lucas said he wishes, he goes, I regret that happened because I didn't realize how big of a character he would be.
Okay.
In the special edition, he wanted to do a scene where you see Boba Fett sneak out of the Sarlacc pit. Mm-hmm. And instead he spent $1 million or more than $1 million on the animated Jedi Rock song with all the CGI Muppets. Yep.
Some investments pay off, some fall.
Yep. Good old George Lucas. Now, speaking of special effects and how, with a lot of time on your hands, you can create some pretty amazing things. Someone built a working Cyclops visor that actually shoots flames out of it.
Get out. I mean, really?
Yeah. It's kind of insane. Like, what can you really do with it other than, you know, set, like, you know, weenies on fire for a camp roast? Campfire roast, sorry.
I don't know. Somebody just has the idea of what if taking it to the nth degree, and why can't we, or how about we try? I don't know. It just... His eyes are not a flamethrower.
They are now.
I could be if they develop this thing and just, I don't know. Because that's his only power, they'll say. And, well, maybe he can, you know, set a dial on the visor that this will be flames, this will be the laser beam, and this will be a starlight show. Whatever. You know, cue Jubilee, someone, please. Or Dazzler, for that matter.
By the way, a friend of the show, friend of mine, John Agostino, he was talking about whether people or not know who Dazzler is. And
you're out there, sure.
He actually had the status where, like the status if you know, give an angry face if you don't. Last I checked, it was like 30-something people knew, 10 people didn't.
Okay.
It was kind of interesting seeing it.
Okay. There's so many characters that are just untapped, and that if certain things work, they might try to go with again.
Why wasn't Dazzler in Apocalypse? How did they miss that opportunity?
Well, I guess if you're going to connect it to anything, X-Men might be the way to go.
I mean, with the decades.
She was in the comics, at least in that vein kind of thing.
But she's a 70s, 80s character. Shouldn't she have been in Days of Future Past or Apocalypse since it took place during those time frames? How cool would that have been?
It could have added another dimension to it, but maybe you already had enough characters in there to sustain a storyline.
Yeah.
And not go to too many other little subtitle, subplots, whatever.
Well, to me, Jubilee was the biggest bummer because they didn't even utilize her. She was a one and done. Could like, she be. Was in the background for, like, 5 seconds and then just disappeared. It bummed me out because, like, yeah. As a kid, you know, growing up in the 90s, watching the X-Men animated series, I love Jubilee. You know, right. She's – throw her in there. Do more stuff with her.
Yeah. Nope. Unless this was a litmus test. Who the heck knows?
Eh. So now before we go, go to www.audibletrial.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And get a free 30-day, one-month trial and an audiobook of your choosing. Myself and Eddie, we've both been listening to the Marvel Comics Untold story by Sean Howe, which chronicles the Marvel Comics story. Right, Eddie?
Yes, sir.
So now, let's see. Once again, go to www.audibletrial.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And get a free 30-day trial, and you can cancel at any time after you get your audiobook. Helps out the show, gives us a little bit of bread in the pocket skis, and helps pay for service and whatnot to be able to put the show up on Podomatic. So now before we go, Eddie, how can people get a hold of you on social media like Twitter?
Twitter at eWilson959.
Any other ways like people can get a hold of you?
Like me on Facebook, Eddie Wilson, EddieWilson. Regular email is eWilson@WVOSFM.com.
And once again, this has been a production of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, www.gunnageek.com. And one more time, find us on social media, facebook.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
Find us on Twitter at the AE Podcast, myself at Peter Melnick, and Mike at Mike_Norin. And let's see, you can find us on Instagram at audibly.
Exquisite.
You can find us on the worldwide interwebs. We are looking for writers of content. Send me an email, peter@audibly.
Exquisite.com.
And the website is www.audibly.com. By the way, I think Mike will appreciate all of your exquisites today.
It's all in the inflection, baby.
So now, how can people listen to this show? Well, I'm glad I asked. Go to www.google.com and type in audibly exquisite. But we're also on a wide variety of social or a wide variety of mobile apps. You can find us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic. And you can also rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. So for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
I'm Eddie Wilson. Thanks for listening.
Have an audibly
exquisite
week. Goodbye.